Hey, everybody. This is Chris in Syracuse with all your college basketball updates with Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio.
Coast to coast, Internet Sports Talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Let him play!
Yeah, everybody have a show today. We have snow today, show today, show tomorrow.
I don't know if you want that on your credit card bill. You know, saying the WC network on it. I mean, like,
your dad would look at that and be like, Dave, you have something to tell me?
That's the story that they still play.
It's unbelievable!
You have your LeBron in the filet. It's like, do you really care about the James Jones at the end of the bench against Tatum?
Maybe the board, the MikeFrancesa.com, was just ahead of its time.
Pioneers.
Exactly, yeah.
Pioneers, if you will.
We listen to this guy sit at a desk, picking his teeth every day, and all the dumb stuff he does. But it's not like we're changing the dial. We like Mike. You know, we hate Mike, we love Mike, all that back and forth.
Bingo.
Unbelievable.
The San Antonio Spurs, Dave. What do they say about him?
They're boring.
They're boring!
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for part two of our Super Bowl series. Three parts, three podcasts. This is the second of the three, and it is good to greet you on a Wednesday night in Santa Monica. Good to have you with us. Across America on YouTube.com. We're back. We are back. YouTube.com/user/DitCow. Or you can search for DitCow right on the page. And so you're seeing me now for the first time on video in about a month. And I know it looks like I have packed the pounds. Well, you would be correct. And I've got some work to do to get back in shape. It's coming along, but, you know, clearly... there need to be some revisions to my diet to make that work. Raisin Bran will help carry me to the right place. Good to be here tonight. Here's a rundown of our Super Bowl program. Tonight we have Kevin on the Cape for random questions any moment now, so stay tuned, stand by. And then coming up in our second hour, we have Andrew Jacobson, who we refer to as Coach, for about a half hour. That's at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. At 7:30 or 10:30 out east, so 10:30, 7:30, we will be joined by Jacob Rosales to bring us home with some more chat about the Super Bowl. And why is the Super Bowl not such a big, exciting for us this year? Meaning by us, maybe the three of us. I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of reasons for that. And maybe we'll talk about that for our friend, the Junk Man. As we start our random questions hour in just a moment. But that's sort of my feeling going into this. I mean, all the talk has been about Deflategate. All the talk has been about Marshawn Lynch's reluctance to speak to the media. A lot of riffraff, and I think the matchup is just something we just want to see already. We want to see these two teams play. It's a great matchup. I mean, there's no reason for me not to be excited about it, but for whatever reason, I'm not. And I guess emotionally, I haven't really felt like these two teams really have any, you know, they've seen the top of the mountain. But to be fair, the Patriots of today are not the same Patriots of 10 years ago. So it's not exactly as simple as that. So, I don't know. Is my microphone coming in okay? Can you guys hear me? I don't know if you guys can hear me at all. My mic is so low this time around. Maybe I should turn it up a little bit, right? We'll see how it goes. But let's turn up America's favorite moment in sports talk podcasting.
Do the dance. It's time for random questions. Good stuff. In the city with Kevin on the
Here he is, Kevin on the Cape, back with us for another Random Questions Hour. And this is the first of two appearances this week. Tomorrow at 9, he'll be back with us and Tom in Virginia to break down the prop bets. And my goodness, they even have prop bets during media day. I didn't know this. Kev, welcome back. How's it going tonight?
Media day prop bets, Dave? That's got to be new.
It's got to be new because somebody had a – there was a media day prop bet that Oatman had in on, or we believe he had in on, we cannot confirm, that Marshawn Lynch would get fined during media day. That was a prop bet. I had no idea about this. I didn't know they did media day prop bets. Did you? That's news to me.
No, yeah, I did not know that. I would also – those are supreme sucker bets. I wouldn't touch those ones. That's kind of silly.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're. I haven't bet online since forever, but I'm sure they. Those are very minimum bets. I'm sure you can't bet, you know, $50,000, you know, because they don't want Marshawn Lynch's, you know, posse, you know, making a fortune or skewing things. I'm sure that's like a $20 bet maximum.
Yeah, there must be something to that. I think you're right. As to where he's going, I mean, whether he's – it would be too easy to manipulate that, which is why I understand, like, a lot of casinos don't actually do the prop bets because of things – or not the actual non-sports-related prop bets because of things like that. Because if somebody said, okay, what color is a Gatorade, they could screw around with that collusion and all that.
Right. Yeah, all the casinos don't do that. They don't do the – They do the sports related stuff. I mean, I've been in casinos a long time ago where it was the stuff that you do on your show about. Remember in the old days we used to do like, you know, Shaq rebounds.
Yeah.
You know, versus catches for Randy Moss. You know, the casinos do that. They definitely do that. Anything played on the field, they do that. But they don't. And they do the coin toss, you know. They do the cool things like, you know, my favorite, as you know, will there be overtime? It's going to have to happen at some point.
How many times have you bet on that? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did. How many times have I bet on that? Probably. Well, I was in Vegas for the Super Bowl for 6 or 7 years. I probably bet on it 4 times.
Wow.
But, I mean, think about it, especially with the Patriots. You know, every single one of their Super Bowls could have been – went to overtime. So
yeah,
it's going to happen. And it's always – the thing about it is it's always ridiculous. I mean, when I bet on it the first time I was in Vegas was the Pats-Rams. And if Vinatieri missed that field goal – I mean, if – wait.
That's right, they're number three. So if he missed, they go to overtime.
No, you know, they went down and they beat him. But if they went down and keep the field goal, they just would have went to overtime.
Right. Right.
It was tied. I mean, it was tied, and then Brady went down and scored and stuff. And yeah, they were going to take a knee. Those were ridiculous. They were like 800-1, like ridiculous odds for this. I'm sure maybe it's probably decreased these days, but that used to be always my favorite bet. I always used to take silly things like will it be overtime or will it be a safety? Those were the two things because the odds were just so ridiculous.
Yeah, the safety ones panned out a couple times. Oh, it panned out in the last Patriots Super Bowl, if I remember correctly. There was a safety. That was the first score of the game, remember?
Absolutely.
That was a good time. Was that the first one we did with prop bets? That was the first show we did with prop bets? Might have been.
Yeah. They did the, you know, the jersey number of the first guy to score, cool things like that. But we'll get all that tomorrow.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. I mean, there's enough material out there to go well over an hour. And
absolutely.
So we can go over an hour with no problem. And, you know, however long it takes, we have a buffer of time to close out. Then we'll get everybody's predictions, get an idea of who they think is going to win the game. And I usually do my exciting prediction with the music. And I got to start a new streak. I lost it last year because I bought in all the Peyton Manning hype. Not doing that again. Jeez. How many years does he do this? He hoodwinks everybody into thinking, oh, this time it's going to be different. And it never is. Can't be a coincidence.
No, the only time that it was ever different was when he, you know, got Lovie Smith and the Bears in the Super Bowl.
Got a little help, yeah. I mean, and Vinatieri made like all sorts of field goals.
He was a guy who liked his pants more than Peyton Manning and Lovie Smith, so.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, you really can't make it up when it comes to stuff like that. So what can you say? So Kevin on the Cape is with us tonight. Random questions. If you have a random question for us in this hour, let us know of it by tweeting @DitCow, for the random question. So let me just write that out here on the screen. We are back on video tonight. Jumpman. Nice. Yeah, it's good to be back. And we'll just pop up this little graphic to tell everybody to go to @DitCow.
I wish I could set up the video over here because I've got 31 inches of snow right now.
So you guys actually got the snow. New York did not. Everybody was saying, oh, my goodness, it's going to be the worst storm of the decade, and ended up getting 8 inches at that in most areas. So I guess everybody else got hit pretty hard. I heard Boston area, Massachusetts, got hit really hard. So
the snow drifts, Dave, are larger than above my car right now.
Jeez. Taller than your car? That's crazy.
Yeah. I've had school closed, I think, for 3 days now.
Mm-hmm.
Just shoveled some more of my driveway because I wasn't home yesterday. So this driveway was totally unattended, and it's just now it's just the ice. It's terrible. It was rough. We got snow. We got two or three inches an hour for all day yesterday, and it just got so much plows couldn't keep up with it, so they just stopped. this afternoon, we're calling, we're like, hey, we gotta go to work. Can someone get over here? We plowed the car out of the driveway, but the street wasn't even touched. So it was pretty ridiculous here. It's not terribly cold, which is the one. It's like 25, 20, 28, so it's not. That's not really the problem. It's just there's just absolute snow everywhere.
Wow, it's just there's no let up. Are you at a point where you can't really go? Did you shovel? Do you have a walk to shovel? A lot of guys have been shoveling their driveway and all that. Have you?
Do I have a what shovel?
Do you shovel your driveway or your sidewalk?
Yeah, absolutely. And then not only do I have to do that, I have my market that I have to worry about.
Jeez, that
which
too,
is even
right.
More.
Yeah, that's right.
More stressful because that's when people could slip and fall, and I got to get that plowed, and I got to do the ramp and the handicap ramp and all that kind of crap and the delivery thing in the back, and it's just a complete disaster. I nailed it. I did everything right before the storm, during the storm, after the storm. However, as I'm leaving tonight, I realize I did not move the garbage cans, and therefore I cannot get to the garbage can. They've been plowed in. There's about 10 feet between me and the garbage cans, 10 feet long, about 4 feet high of snow. So, I literally took the garbage from work home with me tonight because I couldn't even get there. I couldn't even shovel it out because now it's gotten now we're at nighttime, so it's gotten really cold. So the soft snow has become hard. So I can't even get to the garbage can. So I did everything great. The ice machine's working. The lobsters are fine. The heat worked in the store, but I did not move the garbage can. So that was my one epic fail.
Man, one thing like that, and it just it can mess up the rest of the whole week. That is pretty bad. So how much longer before it starts to melt and clear up, you think? I mean, this is a big
not for a long time.
Oh boy,
not for a long time because we're getting snow Saturday, we're getting snow Monday, and it's just never. Usually on the Cape, you get rain. It usually gets like 40 degrees a couple of days, and it rains. But there's nothing like that in the forecast. So
wow,
the snow's going to be around for a while.
Oh, boy. That's a tough spot, junk man. It is. So my sympathies to all you guys. I mean, yeah, are you at a point where you got to do snow tires to get to work? Is it that bad? Like, can you drive with regular tires?
Yeah, I don't need snow tires. tired.
Okay, we're not that. Well, it's because it's not snowing now. I mean, the streets probably have been cleared a little. So, jeez, we.
Yeah, the main roads are fine. They don't pay attention to the side roads. But as long as you can get out to the main road, you're fine. Plus, I know how to drive. I mean, I grew up around here, so you just take it slow and don't hit the brake, and you're fine. It's not the end of the world. Actually, you know what? Driving is my least of concerns when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. It's getting out of the driveway. It's the concern. Once you get out of the driveway, I'm fine.
So once you get out of the driveway, you're good. Okay. Good to know. Do you have to warm up your cars at this point? I'm sorry I'm asking all these stupid questions. Like, this is stuff I never have to worry about. I mean, you look outside and it's like all clear and there's like no moisture or precipitation or any icy weather to speak of. But anyway, how bad is it with a car? Like, do you have to warm up the car at all?
Yeah, you can warm up the car, but it's not the Arctic, Dave. I mean, it's not North Dakota. It's like I said, it's 28 degrees. It's not the end of the world right now. The temperature isn't the problem.
Oh, 28 yesterday too was 28? The wind. Yeah.
Yesterday out here on the Outer Cape, we had, we're talking like 58, 65, gusts, sustained winds that were just ridiculous. Martha's Vineyard, which is an island off the Cape, the whole island, Dave, lost power. The whole entire island of, 10,000 people. It's not a big place, but the whole place lost power. Provincetown, which is, for people know that name. It's like a vacation destination. That's on the very end of the Outer Cape. The whole town gone. Power's out.
Jeez.
So those kind of things are way more dicey, way more things I'm always concerned about, like, the old people around here. I'm not concerned about me. I'm fine, but there's a lot of elderly people out here, so you hope they have fireplaces, things like that, where they can, as long as, you can stay warm for a couple of days, because it's usually back on in a few days.
Yeah. Yeah, I've sent my best to them, too. Hopefully nobody gets seriously hurt during all this. And, who's to say, but we're wish the best anyway. Kevin on the Cape with us tonight. I'm Dave Medina, and this is Random Questions Hour. At DidCow, if you'd like to communicate with us, send us a random question, hashtag DidCow, and we'll track the @DidCow. We'll track the DidCow tweets tonight. I've always wondered, like, if I just do a lookup of the DidCow hashtag, most of it's going to be me promoting the show, but what kind of tweets do you think we would see if we see who's hashtagging us? Like, anybody? I don't know. Do you think anyone else has been speaking about our show?
Maybe Andy in Seattle, Tom in New Jersey.
Maybe.
Some of the diehards come up with some.
I mean, I don't think so. Let's see. I'm scrolling through. It's all me. Like, this is all me. Nobody else has really added anything to it. It's too bad I'm not as popular enough to, like, get other mentions yet. Because it'd be hilarious to see, like, other people try to, jump in and get a mention of you or somebody else. Name a subject or something you would like to get, let you be curious about Twitter mentions for. Like, what do you think people are saying about such and such? Or do you care? Maybe you probably don't care, right?
What question was that?
Well,
wait.
Who are you, like, who's someone that you're wondering, like, what is Twitter saying about this person? So name, like, anybody.
I would love to know what Twitter is saying about Richard Sherman.
All right, let's put him in. Richard Sherman. So Richard Sherman. I'll put in Richard Sherman first, and then we'll put in the hashtag Richard Sherman. Let's see. Just some retweets right now. All right, there's one guy. I'm going to retweet this one. There's one guy. He's at Mark Faka. He says, Richard Sherman picking sixes on and off the field. And he shows a picture of him with some, what he thinks is an average-looking woman. That's kind of mean, actually.
That's awesome, though. That's clever.
picking sixes on and off the field.
That's clever, though. That's what I look for in the internet. I look for cleverness.
Well, he that was clever. I will agree there. That was really something. Let's see if there are any other Richard Sherman mentions that we can look at. I'll actually add the column. I'll add a Richard Sherman column. Because sometimes people will just say Sherman, you know, like they won't use a whole name, but it's always tricky, in that spot because you're curious as to what others have to have going. Oh, where is it? Here? Okay, there we go. So Richard Sherman. Someone should tell Richard Sherman it's that easy. That's in reference to something Skip Bayless said, which means nothing. My dad dreamed that he and Richard Sherman drove into a lake. These are getting ridiculous.
This is kind of a good example. I think Twitter is kind of silly.
It is, but that pick sixes thing is good. That was good. I agree with you there.
Yeah, that is perfect.
That was amazing. I hope someone else reads that tweet. Let's see. Stingin from Sports Illustrated, who fired all their photography staff, says Richard Sherman would not answer preschool questions. I think that's in reference to Bill Belichick the last couple of days. Did you hear that? Like, Bill Belichick was answering some questions to Gerard Mayo's daughter, and he was talking about his favorite stuffed puppet. And something like that. It was adorable. What can I say? But anyway, Richard Sherman, my favorite player in the NFL. Yeah. Oh, this is interesting. But you know, that's yeah. I kind of get what he's saying there. That's actually not really a funny tweet. It's more of a serious one. Oh, yeah. But there's actually a bunch of people saying the same thing right now. Here's one such comment. So here it is. Okay, one of the guys on Twitter is saying, Richard Sherman was called a thug last year for talking too much, and now Marshawn Lynch is being called a thug for not talking enough. Yeah, exactly, right? That's a contradiction is what we call that. But further, it's stupid, and it's completely ridiculous, because, like, why would talking make you a thug? It's just, that's just the thing I really have a problem with when people will use that label.
Why would not talking or talking too much make anyone a thug?
Exactly!
The word thug is thrown out at a ridiculous rate, but I don't know who you're quoting, if it's...
Well, no, he's calling the other people out, whoever this guy is. The guy on Twitter is Fabian Washington. He's not saying this. But his point is that he's making the point that this is, it's kind of a hypocritical of people to say that, you know, talking and not talking makes you it's like, what are these people saying? He's trying to point out how stupid these kind of comments are. So, in other words, like, you know how you would say...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally agree. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It is. It's completely ridiculous.
I look at Richard Sherman. I've seen him, not as much as you have, but I've watched the games. I've seen interviews. I don't have all the channels like you do, but I watch the stuff on my iPad now these days, and the last word I've ever thought of by looking at a Richard Sherman interview is a thug.
Absolutely. I mean, guys who call him a thug are not paying attention.
He's a little wild, but he is very smart.
Yeah.
And he's a terrific at his profession. But thug, I reserve for Aaron Hernandez. You know, thug, I reserve for really, really bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, thug to me is a bad, bad word. It's very pejorative. It's not cool to be a thug. You know, it's not, you don't want your friends to call you that, you know, that's not at all a positive. And these guys, Marshawn Lynch, he doesn't hurt anybody. He's playing a different kind of game. Three or four years ago, he talked plenty. Now, he just, who knows? Maybe he's smarter than the average guy. Maybe he thinks doing this is going to get him more publicity, which obviously it has. So these guys aren't thugs. It's troublemakers at Dubs. Marshawn Lynch and Richard Sherman are not troublemakers.
No, absolutely
they're
not.
They're actually way smarter than the average NFL player, and I actually like their what's the word for it? It's not the word gimmick is not a word, but for them. But I just like their stance. I like people who don't just fall in line with the. I mean, the NFL is a corporation, so I like that they don't fall in line with the whole corporate model. I like that. Excuse me.
Bless you.
I like that they're different, I guess, is really what I'm saying. I like that they're different. It adds a little something to that. I like that they're got their own minds, their own thoughts, and they're not afraid to express them. So I guess that's where I'm going.
That's exactly it. People... They have they're not afraid to speak their minds, and that for apparently that bothers some people, and that's the disgusting part. It's like guys who have the audacity to actually speak honestly and truthfully, boy, that's so bad, right? It's just like it's disappointing on the part of people who are too ignorant to really get it, Anyway, on to other subjects. I never got the chance to I congratulated you on the text, but on the air, this is the first time I've had a chance to congratulate your coach, Coach Mike Krzyzewski of Duke. 1,000 wins. Pretty good.
Well, I don't need any congratulations. I had nothing to do with any of those 1,000.
Yeah, I got you.
So, but it was funny how it's. I can relate it to our show where it's interesting how people view you from the outside, or where I had, I think it was 6 text messages that night, and I didn't even watch the game. I knew he was going for it that day, but it was Sunday's my day off, so Sunday I shut everything off. I spend time with my Sunday's my day with my absolutely beautiful girlfriend, who's just the greatest girl in the world.
Ah, wow.
Sunday's our day. I'm so busy during the week, and so is she. And so Sunday's kind of our thing. So I knew he was going for it, but we make, Sunday's our thing. So I don't pay attention to what's going on, unfortunately. But the long story short is when I got to my phone at the end of the night before I went to sleep, and I got 6 messages. Every single message said the same exact thing. It said, Coach K, 1,000, awesome. Bob Dylan song in the montage or whatever. My sister, you, 2 of my best friends from high school, 2 of my best friends from college, and a guy who knows me now. It was so funny how people who you consider friends and family who really know you kind of think of you in a certain way, and people heard Bob Dylan, they saw Duke, and they texted me, and it was kind of funny. I was just like, holy crap, it was cool for him and that kind of stuff. But I was looking at it, and I was talking to her, I was showing these, and I'm like, wow, it's weird how this is my outward impression that I've made on people. When I'm long gone, they're going to think of Bob Dylan and that I like Duke, which is kind of cool.
It's hard. I mean, it was so funny. Like, the 2 biggest things that we know about you, and they put them together after the game. It was really too bad I couldn't find it on the internet. I was really looking for it that day, and I couldn't find anyone who recorded it. It's too bad because it was really
good.
And
the only funny PS to that entire story is she looks at me and she goes, both of my parents went to Chapel Hill, right?
Oh, that's no good. But that's a tough spot. Well...
That was a tough spot.
You have to live with it, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That was a tough spot.
Don't be like that guy in the ESPNU commercial and throw her out and jump out of the car just because she was for North Carolina. You don't want to be that guy.
No,
don't be that guy.
She didn't go to her parents did, though. So.
Okay. But even then, like, even if she did go, I would expect for you not to make that a deal breaker, because that would be unrealistic, you know? Am I going to quit on...
Oh, of course. No, of course not.
Absolutely. So, that's funny, though. I mean, I guess just after you find out, you're like, wow, look at this stuff about Duke. And you're like, she comes from a North Carolina family. That's good. That's funny. That is funny.
Yeah. That was ironic, as they say.
Yeah. And North Carolina's in the crapper right now, aren't they? I mean, they haven't looked that good lately. I mean, have they even made a run to the tournament lately? It's been a couple years. Are they even inclined to get close?
Yeah, we don't really care too much about them, Dave.
Nah, it's not important to us. We don't care about them. Well, that's pretty cool. I'm glad that it's amazing that everybody you knew had the same idea, like when they saw that. So, and for me, it was great. It was great for you because you've grown up watching them get good. A lot of guys just knew them being good already, but in your case, you're watching those guys when they were getting good.
I am old enough to know about the 83 and 84 team, and there was a really good article on ESPN that kind of chronicled his whole. They found some of his old friends in Chicago, and they interspersed some videos, and it was cool because they didn't just focus on all the winning. They didn't focus on the 91, 92 team. They focused on the 84, 83 team that. You know, Ralph Sampson he scored like 50 points and just completely destroyed them. And they focused on when he had his hip surgery and was out for a year and a half. And so it was more of like trying to understand the guy. And it was a cool article. I mean, not as cool, Dave, as the Grandland article on Francesicon, but it was a cool article nonetheless.
Did you read that? Katie Bakes with that article.
I read the entire thing.
You did?
I read the entire thing last night, like 1 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and I just could not stop laughing.
That was a good article. That was apparently really funny. A lot of good quotes in there. Many of them were reposted on Twitter. A lot of quotables from Katie Bakes. She flew all the way from L.A. to watch Francesicon. That's something people had tried to convince me to do, and I'm like, that just seemed like a silly idea. And I'm glad I didn't, because I got to see it unfold on Twitter anyway. And but that was definitely something. And so she captured the spirit of that event really well from the excerpts I read. I mean, you live much closer to New York than I do. And I don't imagine you were in any position to go travel to Irving Plaza to go see this in the cold, in the snow. But that's called dedication, the guys who went. So kudos to them, right?
I don't know. I mean, kudos. Yeah, it's very interesting that is.
Interesting.
It's interesting that this is what it's become now.
Yeah.
This guy that has been on the radio for God knows it's long. You know, almost as long as you've been alive, and. It was a lark, you know. It started out as a lark, and then he shows up, and I don't know, Dave. I don't know what to think about it. I don't know if it's that. It's just people needing a break from their daily lives. But to go to Irving Plaza to pay whatever it was, I'm sure it wasn't cheap because
it was $15.
You know, it was $15. That was it.
Yeah, it wasn't that much.
Oh, all right. Well, so all right. But, I mean, even, yeah. So, I mean, that's fine. If you think about how much money we waste on other crap in our lives.
Yeah.
Going out to the city on a Saturday night, spending $15 to hang out with a bunch of other dudes.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, I guess.
It was probably going.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that surprised me, too. Last week I found out, I barely found out last week that it was in the afternoon. I was on with Tommy on the air, and we were talking about what time is it. And it was from like 12 to 6, and really it was like 12 to 4. But 12 o'clock to sit to 4 in the afternoon. I'm like, I did not know that. I thought it was at night too. It's just, you know, it threw me off. I'm like, that's a night? I mean, it does during the day. So.
I would have loved, I'm sure, you know, the fact that Francesca showed up was a big hit, but I would have loved to see the reaction on 2,850 guys. When Katie Baker walked into the room, they probably all, you know, sucked in their stomachs, tried to look all tough. Like, oh my goodness, there's a girl here? Holy cow, there's 3,000 guys here and there's a girl here. You know?
Yeah.
That would have been my highlight. I would have liked to walk in behind Katie Baker just to see the reactions of that, what they looked at.
Oh my gosh.
And not only is it a woman, it's a woman who's there reporting, and that would have been funny. I'm sure plenty of the guys there have wives and stuff, but it's a little strange to spend your afternoon devoted to a 60-year-old who really couldn't care less about them.
You know, it's a phenomenon that really is, in some cases, defies description, but it really has been quite a ride. And it has exploded in a level that I don't think any of us could have anticipated. Even the biggest, most ardent, we are all pro mics here. I mean, we don't dislike Mike. I know you don't. I don't. Our friend Umer does not.
No, not at all.
And so the biggest supporters, I think even they were completely surprised, A, that he would agree to do this. And then the appearance itself was just unbelievable. It's out of this world. It exceeded expectations. Up there for 8 minutes and, you know, riffing with the fans, having a good time, and throwing down Michael Kay in the process. It was so good. So good. Just
that was awesome. Somebody sent me that, my email, that little clip. That was terrific. it was perfect for Francesa. You know, he didn't curse. He didn't even mention the man by name. He just said, no one's talking about him.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that was he didn't even acknowledge who they were saying. He didn't curse. He didn't get angry. I think he was more angry that they were actually chanting that guy's name. He was more like, you know what? No one's talking about him. Let's talk about me. You know, it's just a battle between the two humongous egos. He's like, listen, my name's on the marquee. You know, it's not Michael Kay's name is on the marquee. No one cares about him.
It was a perfect response, honestly. I mean, it's a pretty vulgar chant. I really should get a clip of that on here somewhere. I'll put it on tomorrow, maybe. Pop it on tomorrow, get a clip. I can't pop clips on in real time on these computers yet because I don't think you would hear them. Like, I would have to go on a machine that has the clip, you know what I mean? I could sort of do it, but
you don't want to do that clip. That's very vulgar.
Well, it is a family show. It's not a family show. I mean, I put the R tag just in case. We curse on here sometimes, but all right. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't need to be put. I mean, everybody's seen it already.
My 11-year-old niece listens to the show, Dave. You don't want to have that
really?
Language.
Is that true? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, absolutely.
I did not know that.
Not live.
She's
sleeping now.
Oh, yeah.
On the Podbean and all that stuff.
Okay. Well, no wonder we get such big numbers in Podbean lately. You know, Podbean's got the best numbers, showing the best ratings out of all of our outlets. And I gotta give
I've
you
said
guys
this for years. It's the most easy to use, at least from, you know, my simpleton internet mind. When I used to listen to our shows, when you asked me to listen to them or try to, you know, prove upon them and those kind of things, Podbean was always where I went to because it was easier. You could fast forward, you could pause, you could go back. It was a lot easier to listen to, I thought, after the fact.
Yeah, you're right. I'm seeing some good numbers. I mean, November we had 28, 28, 29, 22. This gets no promotion. I'm not on any actual sports networks. I have no billboards. 28, 20. Some fairly
get a billboard.
No, like literally like a billboard, like on the, you know, in the street. Like you put a billboard up and it has my face and your face and it says Dave in the City on it.
Oh, it just says have your face and then a question mark next to my name.
Question mark. That's funny. Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, January's a little slower. 14. I think people still bird under the snow. So that's all right. 19, 14, 6. That was yesterday's show, 6. Not bad. Because that's not a regular night. Like, our regular night's tonight. This is our regular night. Wednesday is our regular night.
Right.
So that's a good get. This is good. And you know that, like, I said it. I figured out how to find this podcast on other Podbean sites, like Podbean apps. I use a program called Podcast Republic, and you can download any podcast anywhere on it. It's really good. And, in fact, I got to go on there and get the Bill Simmons podcast that Tom told me about yesterday. But so I looked at my show, and it's on there. You can put it up, and you get the whole feed, and you can download any episode. And it was like, this is good. This is pretty good. This is easy. And as long as you know how to search DITCOW, it pops right up. So I'm like, this is very good. So maybe we're finally getting some traction with the audience. It's not happening on Blog Talk Radio. And then seriously, I know we're on it right now, but I am thinking very strongly about just disbanding it completely. Like, I think it's just way too much that I pay every month for this. The only reason I use it is so that I can take the calls. That's really it. I can take calls in Skype too, by itself. I don't need to pay money to take a call on Skype. But conference calling has been my sticking point. I want to figure out a way to take like 3 or 4 guys at a time on the phone through a different apparatus. So I'm still working on it.
That's what she said.
That's good. That's basically the reason that we're even using it. Nobody goes on there. I get no numbers on Blog Talk Radio. We did for a time, though. We did for a while. But right now, nobody's jumping on there.
The Blog Talk Radio peaked a while ago.
Yeah.
It's been a disaster for a while. But it was good. It served a good purpose for a long time.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, and it was a springboard that really got us into prominence. And I think it helped. And it really set up the format of the show greatly. Like, we figured out, like, how to program it, and the ability to take other calls that easily was a big get. So we appreciate what they've done for us, but lately they've just been very worthless. Like, their page is terrible. If you go on your iPad right now, go to blogtalkradio.com/DaveInTheCity. Go on there now and look what I mean. It doesn't even show the episode that's on. Like, maybe it shows it now because we're actually on the air, but if you go there during the day, it only shows you the archived episodes. It gives you no indication that there's a show coming on that day. And I'm like, what kind of page is this? How do you expect anyone to hear your show at all? I'm not surprised at all at the numbers right now. If you go on a show page...
And I'll say this about, you know, my average computer knowledge, but it's a very hard website to search. Because I can search your name, and the search results show shows from like 2013 are like the top results, like really old things that it doesn't say like on air now or, you know, coming up soon, those
right
kind of things. So
it used to do that
promotion of what's coming up soon. They don't do a good job with that.
They don't. It's a terribly produced, poorly produced by them.
So, hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. What's up?
So I was going to say, do you have any random questions for our last 15 minutes?
Oh, of course, yeah. Random questions. So 3 ways to do it. At DITCOW to tweet us, hashtag DITCOW with your random question. Or if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, brave the depths of Blog Talk Radio's website and go to blogtalkradio.com/DaveInTheCity. Maybe you'll get in. And
Radio,
if you do,
no.
Yeah, maybe you don't.
Called Radio Nowhere.
Radio Nowhere. Website Nowhere. Seriously. But if you do have a question for us, write question followed by the question itself. You don't even have to do that anymore. Just write the question.
Just text David. Just text Dave. Everyone's got his phone.
Yeah, text my number. 862, whatever. So if you've got a question for us, let us know. Just hashtag DITCOW at the end, and we will answer it in order. For the next probably about 10 minutes, because I need about 5 minutes to switch the studio around for our friend Coach, who will join us at the top. Yeah.
Coach in studio?
Coach in studio tonight. We're going to try it off of one microphone because it was
– I'm sure to tell my niece not to listen to the second hour because he's going to curse a lot.
Now, Coach doesn't curse. It's Rosales that curses. So it would be the last half hour. Because he's coming on at 10:30.
Yeah, well, and Andrew Jacobson, Jacob Rosales.
Right.
Sometimes I get confused. One of them curses a lot. I know that.
Yeah, it's Rosales who does. He's the curser of the two. So there was one
Are
time
they
where
in studio?
No, just coaches. Our Jacob is way up in Santa Clara right now, by the new Levi Stadium. So.
Ah, home of Super Bowl 50.
Yeah, Super Bowl 50. That's correct. Yeah, the next year's Super Bowl. So we'll enjoy that. In the meanwhile, as we lead up to that hour, let's get to the random questions. And tonight we have our friend a couple quickies with some good ones. Here we go. Question one. What is the best movie robot? Movie robot.
Ooh. Best movie robot. Oh, man. Well, the Star Wars guys were so annoying. they were so needy, and you had to carry them other places. So I'm not going to say them. They were kind of stupid. The best movie robot is probably the RoboCop. I think he kind of kicked ass.
RoboCop was kinda great.
Yeah, he kind of, you know, got people to stand straight up and fly right, and killed some people who were a little off kilter. But RoboCop kind of. He was cool. He laid the law down. So I'm gonna say him, because most of the movie robots are kind of lame. They're kind of weak. I mean, the stupid C-3PO, whatever the hell his stupid name was, he was just annoying.
RoboCop was the thing, man. That was a good one. I can't argue with that. I'll go with RoboCop 2. Not RoboCop 2, RoboCop the original, but RoboCop as well. So, yeah, that's a good one. Get your own show, says Johnny Five. I can't disagree with that. Johnny Five was fun. Kind of annoying, too, though. Little cornball, little sappy. But he was fun. I enjoyed the Short Circuit movie. It's a good movie. All right.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad, not bad. I agree. I mean, the only other robot from movies I can think of right now is that stupid Robbie the robot that was in Rocky IV during the Christmas Day boxing scene. He was kind of hanging around. Apparently, Rocky thought that some prototype robot was good enough to take care of his son.
Yeah. I remember that. He had like a robot maid or something.
Yeah, that's right. It's a robot butler, serves drinks and stuff.
I think it was more Paulie's thing.
Oh, okay. Paulie's an ass.
I like that No Batteries Included movie was good. They had some little computer.
Oh yeah, that's right. The little flying saucer things.
I don't think they were computers per se. They were more electronic things. They were kind of cute.
Yeah, you could plausibly see it happening. Apparently, they were from outer space, but you know, they kind of like, you know, you could have been like remote controlled things. If you really thought about it, maybe you could have made some that could have floated around and flipped burgers. That was pretty funny. They were really good at cooking burgers. Remember that? They were really
They were awesome.
Oh my goodness! They didn't even need the two old guys there. Just they could have run the thing themselves. But
absolutely,
that was a great. Yeah, that was fun too. That's a movie that doesn't get enough play. Batteries Not Included was a very good movie.
It really does it. Good movie.
I don't know why it never really gets traction. Like, everyone talks about the other movies, but I've never really heard a reference to it or really seen anybody talk about that movie. It was a good one. I enjoyed it a lot, especially when I was younger, about the time it came out. Saw it on home video. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you can't even, you have to look really hard to find it, to even go and find it in the video store, if you want to buy it somewhere. So
obviously, Dave, because there's no such thing as video stores anymore.
No, I mean, right. I mean, I know you know for rental, yeah. But I mean, maybe you could find it. Maybe you could find it on Netflix. But be that as it may, let's get to question number two. Quickies asks, have you ever been turned on watching women's sports?
On TV or in person?
Probably on TV, but you can include the in-person part. Yeah, sure.
I don't think I'm turned on as far as the physical things that are turn someone on. Yeah, I actually know what I'm talking about, but so that would be a no. But yeah, I've watched Olympic volleyball, Argentina versus Brazil, and thought those were gorgeous women. I've watched Maria Sharapova play tennis and thought she's beautiful, but I wouldn't say I was like jumping at the television and humping it like a crazy person. I can appreciate a beautiful woman that's playing a sport, but don't get turned on.
So turned on, no, for Chuck Band. So yes, for me, it depends on what the sport is, though, so I'll leave it at that. Okay, question number... question number three. Would you rather own a plane, a boat, or a strip club?
That's ridiculous. I'd rather own a boat. Strip club is stupid. I don't know why would anyone want to own that. It's if you want to be practical about it, it's a money pit. You're not going to ever make money that way. If you want to look at it as a businessman, a plane. Planes are scary to me. Boats are too. I mean, boats and planes are very similar. A lot of things can go wrong. You put a lot of money into them. But if you got a really cool boat, honestly, you could just keep it in. At the pier and look cool and not even take it anywhere. But a plane, I don't know, a boat, I don't know. I'd go with the boat only because a plane is, you got to hire someone to fly it. You got to, file a flight plan, and there's a lot of just paperwork that goes with it. Where a boat, I could put it down at the Wellfleet Pier down here and just go visit it and hang out and have a little martini party there, and I don't even have to move it. It looks cool there. It's rocking around. I think it's a little less maintenance than a plane, and the strip club is just completely ridiculous. there's no way you own that unless you are, I don't know, a bunch of like state troopers who know they're never going to get busted, and everything's cool, but there's no money in strip clubs unless you're in Vegas.
Interesting. I mean, it seems like a thankless profession anyway. So, it's kind of skeevy anyway. I mean, certainly everyone partakes in it.
Yeah.
To own it.
A lot of germs. A lot of weirdos.
A lot of germs. Yeah. No dispute there.
A lot of germs.
Yep. I dig. I don't know. I would take exception on the boat one, though, because I probably wouldn't find enough time to use it or enough place to use it. I think it would have to be a situation where your house is next to the boat. So you would, want to live on the marina. You know what I mean? You get a house near that. Or unless you want to live in the boat, I guess you could do that, too. Some people do. It's big enough to do it.
Oh, if that's part of the random question, if the random question was a houseboat, I would take the houseboat. Houseboats are tremendous.
Cool. Never tried one, so I wouldn't know, but good things. Cool. Okay, and so I'll take the airplane, though, because I love the idea of being able to travel anywhere. I don't know how much it costs to actually fly from one place to another if you own the jet. Like, that's kind of neat. But if you have to fuel it up and it costs like $10,000 just to fuel it up, I'm like, oh, that's no good. But
oh, yeah.
It just depends, right? It depends on how much it costs to maintain the thing. But if that was manageable, I'd totally do it. Because then I could go anywhere. I could go over to, I could go fly to Boston and meet you for a week in one of these days and just go. Not have to worry about when it's leaving or what the price is. I just go and I'll meet you. So that'd be fun. That's my incentive. It just depends on the prices of actually operating the plane. But it'd be really comfortable, too. Like, every seat would be first class, you know? I've always wanted to try that. Like, a private jet, a Lear, or one of those cool ones with, like, the big cushy seats.
That would be nice. You could sit down in the co-captain seat. Be like, hey, what do these buttons do? Let me press that. What's that going to do?
Yeah, I dig it. Let's see. You know, we don't have time for this question. I'll just throw it out there, but let's. We're going to wrap it up after this. If you had to give up the use of...
20 seconds.
What's that?
I said 20 seconds. I'll give you my answer.
Okay, 20 seconds. Okay. So last question. If you had to give up the use of the internet or half your friends, what would you choose?
The internet. No question about it.
Yeah, like, I knew you were going to say that. That's a good answer. That's a good answer out of you. I figured you'd say
people.
That.
I prefer people, not computers.
I got to tell you, like, I think I'm going head-to-head with you. I think I'm giving up half my friends. So half of my friends are kind of worthless to them anyway. I'll just give rid of half my friends.
you got to choose better with your friends, Dave.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not talking about the close friends either, like the ones I don't interact with.
Hopefully I'm in the half that you keep.
Oh, no, you're definitely in that half. Absolutely. And so tonight we say good farewell, but Junkman, we'll do it again tomorrow. Same time, same place. We'll join.
Props.
Should be great. Prop bets. I'll do some research on it tonight and tomorrow, and we're going to have a good show.
With that guy in Virginia, right?
That's right. Tom in Northern Virginia joins us, and maybe he has some new beers to share about.
Yeah, I think we should refer to him as the other guy.
No, some other guy will join the two of us tomorrow night.
It's Dave, Kevin, and the other guy. Tune in tomorrow.
I love it. Well, let's do it tomorrow night. So till then, stay warm, Junkman. I hope your heater is on, and I will see you tomorrow.
You got it. He's working great.
Great.
Thanks, brother.
See you later, buddy. That's Kevin on the Cape, and that is our number one. So we'll give it a we'll take a break, come back on the air, and we will rejoin our friend Andrew Jacobson. You know him as Coach, and we'll talk about the matchup Seahawks and Patriots. Stay with us, Dave in the City Locks of the Week Radio. It is, holy smokes, I haven't done this in a while. Locks of the Week Radio. It is, like, I know what time it is. I'm just saying, Dave and City Locks of the Week Radio. It's 7:00.
Serving the nation at blogtalkradio.com. This is Locks of the Week Radio.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Yeah, everybody have a show today. We had snow today, show today, show tomorrow.
I don't know if you want that on your credit card bill. You know, saying the WWE network on it. I mean, like,
your dad could be like, Dave, Just don't you tell me.
That's the story that they still
say. It's unbelievable.
You have your LeBron in the filet. It's like, do you really care about the James Jones at the end of the bench against haters?
Maybe the board, the MikeFrancisa.com, was just ahead of its time.
Pioneers.
Exactly, yeah.
Pioneers, if you will. Yeah.
We listen to this guy sit at a desk and picking his teeth every day and all the dumb stuff he does. But it's not like we're changing the dial. We like Mike. You know, we hate Mike. We love Mike. All that back and forth.
Bingo.
Unbelievable.
The San Antonio Spurs, Dave. What do they say about him?
They're boring.
They're boring!
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Back at it here in the city, Locks of the Week Radio, and look who's just come to join us here on the program.
God, I can see myself.
Yes. Yes, you can. You can, you can. I'm going to come over there and join you in just a second.
Are you going to come over?
Yeah, I'm coming over to chat with you tonight.
Nice. I like the intimacy.
Let's get started, buddy. How you doing?
Yes.
How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, buddy? Am I too far from the mic here?
No, you're fine. Let's just get this thing close together. Okay, how you doing, everybody?
Hi, YouTubers.
Hello. We can't really take random questions or chat or anything on the Twitter right now because obviously I'm not anywhere near a keyboard. So
we're sharing the mic?
We'll share the mic here. Okay. Yeah, so you don't have to keep it.
Figure out what's going on here.
Yeah, as you talk, you can talk closer to the mic. But it can pick up both of our voices.
Does anybody want anything from the kitchen? Anybody?
So let's see, you got the Patriots jersey on. So
that's
it sounds
right.
Like you've got a
that's
favorite
right.
in this thing. You've got a favorite in this Brought game,
out,
all right?
Dug out the Patriots jersey.
Don't beat up and everything.
Yeah, I've had this for like 10 years. I've worn it like 3 times.
That is the best.
Yeah.
It's all faded.
It's a little faded. Still works though. It's a little still works all right.
All right.
It's okay. Nice little
nice.
Yeah.
Nice looking
I like
thing.
It. So I bought this.
Yeah.
Where did I got this? I think I got this jersey in like 2004.
Okay.
All right. After the Patriots had beaten the Eagles in the World
yeah.
Series. The Super Bowl
39.
Bought the jersey and so I wore it when they played the Giants. In the Super Bowl because I wanted the Patriots to win. Right. I was looking forward to like the undefeated season thing. That didn't happen. And then I wore it when they played the Giants the second time in the Super Bowl, and they lost that. So Patriot fans might not want me to wear this jersey
well,
on.
Well, at least they're not playing the Giants this time. Maybe they got a shot.
Maybe with a different team.
They're not playing the Giants.
They are my pick to win.
Okay. And you've been consistent about that. You felt pretty strong about the Patriots.
I felt day after the championship games, felt like Patriots probably win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I still feel that way. Take my glasses off for the YouTube. And I still feel that way. Because I like to kind of get like, okay, this is how I feel about it right after the championship games and see if it changes because it's 2 weeks. So Deflate Gate, all that kind of stuff, but I still feel I'm still feeling a Patriots victory in the Super Bowl.
So you know the Patriots' big strength this year defensively is at cornerback. They picked up Darrelle Revis in the offseason. He's paid off major dividends so far.
Yes.
What can they do with their defense to hold down a team that really runs well in the running game? So that's going to be the challenge.
Yes. Well, I think Marshawn's going to get his yards.
Okay.
That's just going to be a given. He's really good. He's a great running back. So I think he's gonna get those yards regardless, even if he was going up against a really good rushing defense. I think though, why I'm picking the Patriots is I think they're overall kind of a better team, a more complete team than Seattle.
Right.
The difference is the offense. I think the Patriots offense, even though they're going up against the better defense in Seattle, I have more confidence in them being able to move the ball, do some things on offense than I do Seattle. Mm-hmm. Seattle runs the ball really well, but they don't really have any weapons on the outside, any receivers, anybody that really scares you. In fact, Russell Wilson was terrible in the NFC Championship game until very late.
No, you're right. He was. Game. He was awful.
He was terrible. And I don't expect him to be that bad on Sunday. I'm not expecting him to be terrible again.
Right.
I think he'll play fine. But it's just not the kind of offense that really scares you. They'll beat you to death on the line of scrimmage running Marshawn Lynch. But, you know, unless they can get some big plays in the passing game, I don't really see this offense doing a ton or putting up a ton of points and not being able to sustain drives. They went three and out quite a bit against the Packers there in yep. that game in the NFC
Championship. It's the best defense game. The Packers played like that whole season.
The Packers aren't a very good defense. I think the Patriots defense is significantly better than the Packers defense.
I agree with that.
I think it's an underrated defense, actually. And I think it will be a game that Seattle, I expect, will have some problems, some issues trying to move the football here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll create enough offense, you know. I don't think they're going to get shut out or anything like that. But I don't see them putting up a big number on the scoreboard.
And they haven't really the whole season. Like,
no.
You never see them put 30 points up.
Think about the Carolina game
yeah.
in the divisional round. That was a game where, you know, really, Seattle won on an interception return yeah. for a touchdown, you know. So, I don't know. The offense doesn't scare me. And that's the thing I think New England's offense would scare me
mm-hmm.
more so than Seattle's does. Seattle can be good. Russell Wilson can do a lot of things. He's very good. And I think he'll play fine on Sunday, but a lot better than he did in the AFC Championship game. But they just don't have the weapons on the outside. I just don't see him being able to get quick points in the game.
Well, I know that they don't really have much for receivers. Javon Curse is the best they got. I mean, that's not very good.
Yeah.
But it seems like for me that they would have more control of the game because they can control the line of scrimmage more. And I felt that way.
Yeah, but I think the Patriots' run defense isn't terrible. Patriots' run defense is actually a pretty good run defense, you know?
Except, although they did have that game against Kansas City. I was thinking about this yesterday because my friend Andy brought it up. Different Andy.
Different Andy.
Because remember how that Jamal Charles was going roughshod over them on Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
That was early in the season, though, but it was interesting to think about. It was like, yeah.
That was
a bad example.
That was almost like an entire season ago.
Yeah,
you know?
It does feel like a long time ago.
Think about how long that was on that Monday night and how many things have changed since then. The Patriots looked done.
Yeah, they did. Everybody was riding
them. D-U-N done.
Yeah.
Seattle wasn't looking so hot at that time of the year either. Remember, Seattle was like 3-3 at one point, and everybody was like, what's wrong with Seattle? What can they do? So big change from there to now. And so, like, that game, I don't put a lot of credence in early season stuff, and I think it's more how you look and how you've played recently. I think Seattle is going to definitely need Marshawn Lynch to have a big game, and I think he'll have a good game. I think he'll get his yards. I expect him to be over 100 yards. I think they'll need Russell Wilson to make some big plays in the passing game, which I'm not sure they'll be able to do. You know, maybe one. Two, maybe.
He only needs two, right? Like, he only needs about a...
Yeah, but they need to sustain drives, because I actually think the Patriots, offensively, and I know numbers-wise, it would be different, that's my phone.
Silent mode, buddy.
I actually have confidence that the Patriots will be able to move the ball using their quick passing game and then Blunt running the football. That would actually be counter to what Seattle statistically is. Seattle statistically is actually very, very good in defending the short passing routes.
Mm-hmm.
But the Patriots are probably the best team in the NFL at running those. They do it at a bunch of formations, motions, all these different things. I think they'll be able to move the ball a little bit that way against the Seahawks.
Well, it's going to be quite a challenge for the Pats to get some first downs against that defense. Although I will say this, who are the two most prolific? Who are the two best guys? The guys at corner, right?
Yeah.
So those are the guys that it's these other guys that actually are going to be tested because Most of the Patriots passes are up the middle, so pretty much what you were saying, like they go to Edelman sometimes, they go to Gronkowski sometimes.
A lot of short, quick routes. Yeah. They run them out, like I said, bunch formations out of motion, so you can't just get up on the line of scrimmage and just pound these guys because they have some. Their receivers are not like breakaway receiver type of guys. What they're good at is quick in and out routes. Yeah. You know. They're good on cuts and things like that. That's how they get those little windows for Brady to throw in. Gronkowski's probably their biggest big play threat when it comes to on the offensive side of the football. Be interesting. Him versus Cam Chancellor, I think, is going to be a fantastic.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Fantastic matchup. It's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. You know, if you think about it, think of all the secondary guys that are in this game that – I don't know if we've ever had a Super Bowl with two teams with better secondaries than these two teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of Sherman.
Yep.
You think of Revis.
Yep.
You think of Browner now, who's on the Patriots.
Yeah, Browner's
instead
really
of
come of age.
Instead
yeah.
of the Seahawks. You think of Earl Thomas.
Yeah,
you
Earl
think of
Thomas,
Cam
yeah.
Chancellor.
Yep.
I mean, just both of these secondaries are ridiculously good. Which is why I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring Super Bowl. I actually think it's going to be a little lower scoring.
Lower than 48?
Lower than 48 for those making a trip to Vegas this weekend or who like online gambling. I see it lower than 48.
I can see lower than 48. I mean, you may be right about 48. You know, because what's that, 24 to 21?
48 is not a big number. I think my final score prediction,
yeah,
guaranteed to be right, will be 23-20 Patriots.
They're gonna win by exactly three again.
Yeah, that's why I picked it. That's why I picked it.
They always win by three, right?
They always win by three. That's what they're gonna do. So I think that's where it's headed. But yeah, be a good Super Bowl.
It's gonna be a good game, but you know, we were just talking about this before we went on the air.
Yeah.
We would probably have been more excited about it if different teams were in it.
Well, if the 49ers were in it, I think I'd be in Arizona right now.
Yeah, there you go. Niners.
Of course.
The Super Bowl 49 would have been kind of cool.
My team took a direct turn left. Turned that into a U-turn, and we're going the other way.
Yeah.
I have, you know, for years. I've wanted Patriots-Packers.
Yep.
Which we had once. I just thought of that the other day. We had Patriots-Packers.
Yeah, but that's when the Patriots weren't that good.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. That was Drew Bledsoe, Patriots.
Parcells. Vinatieri was still in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. That was his first Super Bowl.
Okay.
Long time ago. Yeah, I know. He's been around a while.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. But recently I've wanted Packers-Patriots.
Right.
You know, a few years ago, Packers were in the NFC Championship game, lost to the Giants.
Yeah.
Patriots went on, and that's when the Giants beat them that first time. And then this time, how the Packers lost that game that day still perplexes me.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's almost as perplexing as taking a hard-boiled egg and turning it into liquid.
Wasn't that something?
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
It's still, I'm still back in my brain ever since you told me about that.
That was mind-blowing. I was mind-blowing.
I might just do science experiments here in the apartment all weekend
with
hard-boiled eggs.
Try to replicate the unboiled egg.
If they can do it at UC Davis, we can definitely do it in our apartment.
It was UC Irvine.
Oh, Irvine. Davis Irvine. Two things.
That was pretty wild stuff though. I mean, I know that's like, what are you gonna do with that? But you know, that you can find ways to kind of like how you can freeze things and unfreeze them later.
If somebody took a hard boiled egg and made it liquid again, where you could eat it, would you eat the egg? Would you do scrambled eggs with that? Or is that breakfast?
Scrambled eggs you could do, yeah. I'd have no issue with that.
That would be okay.
That'd be
it's
fun.
Like you're double cooking. It's like refried eggs.
Yeah, I know. It's really kind of weird.
What did Mitch Hedberg say? Maybe we're wasting our time and we didn't have to fry them
again.
It's funny.
Fried beans.
Katy Perry, halftime.
It's a beautiful, beautiful choice.
Yeah.
Great choice.
You can bet on her cleavage, I saw today.
Oh, okay, cool. We'll save that for tomorrow's show, the prop bet show.
I wanted to talk about that. All right, go ahead.
Well, what was the bet?
I don't know. I was gonna.
Okay.
I was gonna look it up and see.
We got the iPad right there. We could take a look.
All
right.
Let's see. I saw.
Get a little preview of tomorrow's prop bet show. We'll do this. Katy Perry. Katy Perry.
You know what this is going to turn. You know what this is going to turn into. It's going to be me and you looking at pictures of Katy Perry on my iPad on your YouTube show.
Well, we could at least show the audience on the camera.
We can. She'll be backwards though. It'd be weird, at least for us. I thought you could bet. I saw something about this.
Yeah.
Go ahead, talk, Dave. Fill time.
Well, there's a lot of definitely a lot of wild bets. This is a good segue for tomorrow's show. There's going to be a lot of.
Is that when you're doing the prop bet?
Yeah, tomorrow it's 6 our time.
What?
9 their time.
And I don't want to spoil your show tomorrow. What's your bet of the Super Bowl? You're the one that you're like, that's a winner. I know it.
Let me see. You know, a good one this year would be the safety. I just think with these kind of defensive teams, teams being held inside their own territory a lot, the fact that there's a safety in it would be a good choice. There was a safety in last year's
Super Bowl. Do you know how many safeties there have been in Super Bowl history?
I think there are at least 2, because I remember the one from the Giants Super Bowl like 3 or 4 years ago, and then last year, right? Wasn't there a safety?
Yeah, there's been 9. Nine okay. safeties in Super Bowl history, wow. which is a lot.
So we've seen 2 of them already.
There's never been a punt return for a touchdown in a Super Bowl?
Oh, that's interesting. Only a lot of kickoff returns. A lot of kickoff returns. We've seen a few of them.
Most fun Super Bowl pack. Game with the most punts was Giants-Ravens, 21 punts in that game. Game with the fewest punts in Super Bowl history, Broncos-Falcons, 2.
That's kind of weird. Because that game was a runaway.
Is it weird? I know that.
I think it's just because the Broncos scored so much on them. But why did the Falcons not punt that much? That's the next question. Okay.
All right, you ready?
So what's the bet? What is this Katy Perry bet for the
halftime? The bet is whether she's going to be showing cleavage or she'll have full coverage.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. What
cleavage,
are the odds?
Cleavage is the favorite. It's minus 500. All right, so
yeah,
you're not going to win a lot on that one. Full coverage, though, plus 350. You want to roll the dice?
It's a 50-50 shot.
Want to roll the dice that she's covered up?
I would actually, to be honest, because I remember that picture. That's but don't deprive our national audience. Let's show them the picture.
They don't want to see. Just go online, Google Katy Perry, and see plenty of pictures. All
right, but anyway. I mean, if I was actually going to bet it, I'd probably bet the other one because the other one has no return. So it's like, I may as well just throw it out there.
Might as well, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Because you throw in 5, you get 15. You put on 10, you get 30.
Yeah. I would go full coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reasonable chance of it. It's not completely out of the question.
That might be the first cleavage bet ever in Super Bowl history.
I don't know if that's true. Because I remember there was a question about what someone was wearing at halftime recently.
Bruno Mars?
No, it wasn't Bruno Mars. It was before that, the year before. Who was the year before? Because we had...
Prince.
No.
Tony Bennett.
The last female one. It was Madonna, right?
But, Sarah McLachlan. I don't know.
There was another one. I forget. But it was like, what color was her shirt going to be? Is it going to be like gray or red or whatever?
That's not a cleavage bet.
No, but there may have been one on Fergie back in the day.
Favorite Super Bowl halftime show?
But you see, I don't really pay attention to it. But there have been some good ones. U2 was really good.
U2 was good.
Yeah. I think.
You don't watch the halftime show?
What are you doing in the background? I'm getting snacks.
Oh, snacks.
Taking a bathroom break and getting more snacks. I mean, I can hear it. I'm just not watching it like that, you know?
Not locked in?
No.
Yes. Beyonce.
That's a good one.
She was awesome.
Maybe that was the one I was
that
talking
about.
That was probably it.
That's what I'm saying.
I think there was one about Cleveland.
She was amazing.
Yeah, that was
a good
one.
She was amazing.
And then the power went out for like 30 minutes, so everybody stopped talking about it. But it was a great halftime show.
That was the worst Super Bowl ever. I just have to say, that was awful Super Bowl.
It could have been just plain bad. At least they came back.
At least they did.
The Niners came back in that game and really had a chance to win it.
Crushing.
They were that close, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Everybody was getting excited about that comeback, too. So it was one of the more memorable Super Bowls for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
A lot of things to talk about.
Favorite Super Bowl?
I don't know. I mean, the one that the Steelers won would always be one for me. But
is the first one the Steelers won for you the Seahawks game?
Yeah, and I don't really like talking about it because you look back at it now. Everybody keeps telling me they got hosed. Yeah, they got hosed. They got hosed. It was a terribly officiated game. What can I say? I'm not gonna be an idiot.
They bounced back. They won against the Cardinals. Yeah.
They needed it too. Which is exactly right. They needed that game they won against the Cardinals as well.
So have you given your prediction for the Super Bowl yet? Or are you holding out for the audience on that one?
No, I usually save it to Friday, but. I'm not quite as discreet about it now.
I know who he's picking.
Now,
should I ruin that right now?
No, it's okay. We can ruin it.
I'm just kidding. Well, I don't want to ruin your show. But, you should wait till Friday. Should build suspense. Are you doing the drunk show tomorrow?
I should have done it tonight.
You should have. That would have been good.
That would have been good. Let's see if we can find the liquor in the cabinet.
Dave is taken to making high C. Was it high C? What are you making?
It was Kool-Aid. Yeah.
Spiked Kool-Aid. But
if we could find high C, I'd do high C. I can't find high C anymore.
You like high C better than Kool-Aid?
Depends on the day, but generally speaking, yeah. Most of the time, I like high C more. I'm more of a high C guy.
I don't think I've ever had high C.
No?
I don't think I've ever
Not had for high lunch? C.
No.
Not at McDonald's?
No.
Wow.
I don't think I ever have.
You're missing out.
My childhood, I was really, just really
sheltered. What did you drink then? Milk?
Milk.
Really?
And,
so you were actually like the commercial. Like you would drink the milk at the commercial.
What
like,
was the chocolate drink that you put the straw in?
Quick.
No, no. You put the straw on the top. Yeah, something.
Oh, specific. Yoo-Hoo.
Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah, Yoo-Hoo's. My buddies are big fans of Yoo-Hoos too.
I was a big Yoo-Hoo fan. Growing up, it was a lot of Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah. Probably Yoo-Hoo's OD'd good. On Yoo-Hoo. Yoo-Hoo's not bad. It's like it does all the work for you. You don't have to stir the chocolate in the milk.
So my prediction, Super Bowl, Patriots 23-20.
Okay.
I think the MVP of the game will be, I don't want to say Tom Brady. That's too easy, right? You can't say that.
You can say, but you can say it's too easy, but it winds up being Tom Brady. So it's like if they
it's
win.
It's going to wind up probably.
Who
if
else
they
is it going to be? Well, who else would you do? Gronkowski maybe, but probably not.
Trying to think. So who's going to make a big play? How many MVPs does Brady have? Two? Right? He was MVP of the first one.
Yeah.
And he was MVP of Deion Branch.
That was the
Was the
third
MVP
one.
Of the
yeah,
of the of the
pretty
Eagles.
Bad offensive
so
game.
If Brady gets it, he'll tie Montana for the most MVPs in Super Bowl.
Three is the most, right?
Yeah. Three for any single
I
player.
Never answered your question.
What was the question?
My favorite Super Bowl. I mean, ones the Steelers won were fun, but favorite Super Bowl, I mean, it's always changing. But Super Bowl 42 certainly is one I'm going to remember. Sorry, buddy. That's the one the Patriots lost. That was such a big
upset.
Again,
I'm just wearing a jersey.
It was as close as we got in this century to getting that Jets Super Bowl that beat the
Colts. Feeling of it.
The feeling of it, yeah.
Now, it's interesting, the Patriots, because so they get upset when they were a big favorite in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that was a big one because it would have been the perfect season and all that kind of stuff. They also pulled off one of the greatest upsets in Super Bowl history when they beat the Rams.
Yeah.
When they beat the Rams in that Super Bowl. Remember that?
Right. It was they were a big favorite.
Rams,
two touchdown favorite.
Close. Yeah. It was definitely double digits. It was like 11, 14, somewhere like around there. The Rams were a big favorite in that game.
I didn't realize how big they were that big of a favorite. I guess.
Maybe I made that up.
No. I mean, they were. I mean, like, I didn't, when I was watching the game back in the day, I didn't realize that they were that big a favorite.
Oh.
Like, I knew that they were a long shot to win, but I didn't realize they were that big a favorite.
Biggest favorite in Super Bowl history.
Would have been your Niners 20 years ago. Super Bowl 29.
It has been that long.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
20 years in the dot.
It's the Chargers. And they covered.
And it covered. Barely.
They covered. Well, remember, the Chargers had a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
In that game. So, Chargers got some points late.
They did. It was actually coming down to the cover was coming down to the last play. I think Mike Michaels made a reference to it.
So, the Super Bowls I like, and it's hard to pinpoint which ones are the best. 42 was great.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
Elway beating the Packers.
Was a good one. Yep.
That's all I got. Oh, I like Super Bowl 25, Giants and Bills.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotion going into that game.
23.
That was a good one.
49ers and Bengals.
Before my time.
The drive.
It was a good game. Yes. That was a good game. I mean, Joe Cool. That was a good the Niners come back against the Bengals.
Yeah.
Hey, there's John Candy in the stands. Not anymore.
He was at the hockey game on the TV.
He's long gone. He was great, though. I loved him.
I miss John Candy.
I do, too.
We talked about actors today. It's Gene Hackman's birthday this weekend, everybody.
Happy birthday.
I'm going to watch the Royal Tannenbaums to celebrate.
Very nice.
And drink some spiked high C.
Spiked high C. That's good.
Or Kool-Aid or whatever.
That's a spirit, buddy. I like it. Any other final thoughts you had about this game coming up?
Final thoughts about the game.
Yeah.
No, I think it's going to be good. I think we actually probably got the two best teams for both conferences.
I mean, the two number one seeds.
There are two number one seeds, right. And they're pretty two clear top teams.
Yeah.
I think they're probably the top two teams in the NFL. Last year, I remember I said after that 49ers-Seahawks game, I said those were the two best teams in the NFL. Like, I just knew it at that moment. Like, I knew the Broncos were not the equivalent of those teams. This year, I actually think that probably it's the Patriots and the Seahawks, you could probably say, are the two best teams in the league when we get down to it. And that's what you kind of want. That's what you want in the Super Bowl. You want the two best teams there, not just from their conferences, but the two best teams probably in total in the NFL.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a good game. I think it'll be a close game throughout. Both teams are good enough on defense that I don't see one team really stretching into a big lead. The biggest comeback in Super Bowl history is 10 points.
Yeah, 10 points.
Still.
Not a lot, right? Not a lot.
But it's been 10 points for a long time.
Not a lot of points.
I think what you have sometimes is what happened last year, which a team gets down early, and then they get flustered, and then they just get blown out.
I mean, the nerves and the pressure of winning the big game.
Yes, and I think the Broncos got very unnerved early in that game, and then they had no chance.
Yeah.
I don't see that this year. I think it will be a good game. I think it will be a close game. If Seattle won, certainly would not be surprising. I could totally see Seattle winning the football game. I think it's probably that close. I don't feel as great about my pick as I have in other past Super Bowl picks that I've made. But I do think the Patriots will win. I do think they're probably the better, more complete team. Yeah, I just think I think it'll be a good game. I think it will be fairly low scoring, but I think it'll be entertaining. I think it'll be close.
I think all of the above, we'll see how it goes.
Don't give away tomorrow's show, Dave.
I won't give it away. Right.
Nobody's
away.
Gonna tune
tomorrow
in.
Tomorrow you'll hear it for real.
And he's gonna be drunk tomorrow. That's what you really want to tune in for.
Yeah.
I think is that. What's his face?
It might be.
Oh. I think the other thing is it's good to have the game back on the West Coast. We talked about this the other day. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So many of these games have been East Coast games and everything. This year it's in Arizona, and next year it'll be in San Francisco, which will be kind of cool. So
it's good to have it back in the West Coast again.
Good
right?
to see like getting it spread out a little bit more.
Yeah.
And the Arizona stadium. What is it? University of Phoenix. We've been there.
Yeah. It's a great stadium.
It's actually hosted some great games, including Super Bowl 42 before.
Yep.
So maybe that will also kind of live up to that expectation as well. So, but I'll be rocking the Patriots jersey Sunday.
Yeah.
Watching the game.
All right.
What's your food of choice Super Bowl?
Right. I was talking about this. Chips. I love chips. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of chips. Any kind of chips, you know, Funyuns, Doritos, tortilla chips with the salsa.
Okay.
I love them all. The chips, I'm not really discriminating.
Favorite type of Doritos?
Will
there be a Doritos commercial in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, of course there will be.
Remember Doritos Girl?
Allie Landry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, huge fan. Huge fan. But spicy nacho probably for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Solid choice.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on tonight.
Thank you, Dave. It was fun. Go Patriots.
Enjoy the game.
I'll be depressed if the Seahawks win. All right.
Thanks, Dave. Everybody. All right. Well, there he is, Andrew Jacobson on the program. We'll take another break. Be back with our next guest, Jake Rosales. Stay with us. This is Dave.
I know him.
You know him? Yes, you do. I know him too. Dave in the City. We'll be back right after this. here we go. Last half hour of the show. Let's round it out with our friend Jacob Rosales here on the program. Jake, welcome to the show. Happy Super Bowl week. How's it going tonight?
It's going all right, Dave. How are you doing?
It's been a while. I'm fine. Keeping cool here in California, Southern California in my case, Northern California in yours. It's been a while. So,
yeah, the weather's been wild over here, man. I mean,
you too? Yeah.
Nice. It's so nice and not cold and not snowing. There's no blizzards.
No. How many inches are you guys getting over there?
None. Zero inches of snow in San Francisco.
Oh my! Well, I hope you can shovel that out and do in time so that you can get to your car.
Yeah, my car that doesn't exist.
The car. Yeah, that's right. The car that you don't have.
All right.
Well, here we are, Jake. Another Super Bowl year, and another Super Bowl week leading up to the game. And I think we've chatted about this a bit. You know, it'll be fun, but it's not the same kind of enthusiasm that I think I've had for Super Bowls of the past. So, and we were chatting in email. I imagine you feel the same way. Like, it's not quite the same level of enthusiasm for this year's game. I mean, your thoughts about the Super Bowl this time around as opposed to past years?
Clearly it's all Marshawn Lynch's fault. If he would just answer questions, everything would be fine, and the world would turn correctly, and old white guys with, you know, an axe to grind would be happy again, and then I'd be excited about the Super Bowl. That's what it is. Oh, and also, you know, if Tom Brady would inflate his footballs to the correct pressure, then everything would be okay. Everything would be fine. Yeah. In all seriousness, I don't know, it's just been a really bad year in the NFL. Really bad year in the NFL. I mean, you got the whole Ray Rice thing, you know, Ray McDonald, Greg Hardy, Adrian Peterson. There just hasn't been a whole lot of a lot of positive things coming out of the NFL. You know, I think people are getting tired of Roger Goodell. People are getting tired of you know, all the issues that surround, you know, all the domestic violence stuff and things of that nature. I think it just kind of wore on a lot of people. I mean, it's a Super Bowl, and I'll probably be more excited about it on Sunday. Just, I didn't really care all that much because I don't like either team. But beyond that, like, it's still, like, even last year when the Niners lost in the NFC Championship game, I was really disappointed, but I was still excited about the Super Bowl after about a week, after I got over the whole Niners losing thing. You know, then I was like, okay, it's the Super Bowl. This year it's just like, yeah, whatever, fuck it, whoever wins. Like, I don't even care anymore. Let's just get to the game. Like, all the buildup is just, I think a lot of it also has to do with just the whole deflated footballs and Marshawn Lynch not talking to the media. I think that's completely turned me off to even follow anything. Like, I haven't even looked at anything really. Like, I think I saw the press conference for Kraft. I did go and watch the Marshawn Lynch press conference and him just repeating it, but I didn't watch the whole thing. It was just saw what he was doing, and that was pretty much it. Like, I don't know. I'm not intrigued by any of it. It's just all kind of bullshit. I'd rather just talk about the game. I mean, the Super Bowl's always like that. The weekly of the Super Bowl is always just kind of random and all kinds of bullshit. It's just this year, it's not even interesting bullshit. You know, I thought, like, I think Gronk made a comment, you know, in the press conference, and that kind of stuff is more fun than giving a shit about Marshawn Lynch not talking to the media or about the PSIs on a fucking football, whether the Patriots have an unfair advantage or whether they don't fumble more than other teams. Like, whatever. Just stop it. Just stop. It's just so fucking...
I know you're not a fan of people making a big deal out of little things, you know, so... In the big scheme of things,
dumb. Like,
it is.
Yeah, like I'd rather just, you know, like if a, like even, I remember 2 years ago, there was the Chris Colliver thing. And he said something about, you know, not wanting gay guys on a football team. You know, like it was dumb for him to say, clearly. But that was like a day, and then nobody talked about it after that. You know, he like came out and apologized, and that was it. Like the next day, he apologized, and you know, Jim Harbaugh apologized, and blah blah blah. The Niners sent out a tweet, and that was about it. You know, this whole deflate thing is, I mean, the fuck, it's been a week and a half. You know, the Marshawn Lynch thing has been happening all year. Like, this isn't news that he's not talking to the media. Everybody knows this already. I just, like, it's not even, it's just dumb. I don't know. Like, just let it go already. It's okay. Like, just get to the football game already. I don't know. That's how I feel about it. That's probably why I'm like, meh. Like I said, once, you know, the weekend comes along, I'll probably be a lot more excited about the game itself because
we're
it's
close
the Super Bowl, and I still love the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I think it's got really good potential to be a great game, too. I mean, I think you and Andy hit on it a little bit. Like, they're really the two best teams in the NFL right now. You know, it didn't look like it at certain points in the season, but the way both teams finished the second half of the season, shit, the Seahawks maybe it was like the last 6 weeks of the season or whatever it was, like, you know, for a while there, it didn't look like the Seahawks were going to make the playoffs. It, you know, they had to really rally in order to make the playoffs. The Patriots, you know, it looked like Denver was kind of the better team for a while, and they were struggling. And then, you know, both teams just got it together and started playing football. And, you know, they do what they do best. And I don't know if this is the strongest Seahawks team as it was last. Actually, I'm pretty sure it's not as strong as they were last year. But they came on strong, and they ended up. They got a little lucky with the way their division worked out with Arizona and the way the NFC's kind of just eating each other because there were so many good teams in the NFC this year, and then there was just nobody. It was like, you know, there was Philly was sort of a good team, but they fell off at the end there. And the Niners were competitive for a while until they completely went off the rails. But after those two teams, it was like there was nobody after that. I mean, if you're ignoring the NFC South. You know, so for the Seahawks, like, they didn't really have to climb that high, but they certainly needed to turn their season around. And they did, and they look like the Seahawks, you know, at least the playoff team. But they haven't looked great either, you know, which I think is the potential to make it a good game because the Patriots, I don't think the Patriots beat last year's Seahawks team. This year's Patriots teams, I don't think beat last year's Seahawks team. But I don't think the Seahawks team is that strong, so that's why I think it could be a really good game. Last year's Patriots team probably wanted to beat anybody, any of the teams that, you know, they probably wanted to beat the Packers. They probably wanted to beat the Broncos. They might've beat the Colts. Well, they beat the Colts last year and this year, but this year the Patriots are a little bit stronger and the Seahawks are not as strong. And I think that really gears up for a much better game. And I also just think that Belichick is a better coach than John Fox, which isn't really shocking to say.
Wait,
so
John,
I'm sure
John
it'll
Fox?
Be a game plan.
You mean in terms
yeah,
of...
Yeah, last year. I'm talking about
oh,
last
year.
Year's
okay,
Seahawks
okay.
team.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, so I think in the end it's just going to end up being a very competitive game.
Okay, Yeah, this is the least enthusiastic I've ever heard you on a Super Bowl podcast we've done. So it's definitely things are different. You mentioned... how the NFL itself is really taking it on the chin and having a lot of issues right now, and that does dampen people's enthusiasm for the game. I don't think it's going to hurt the ratings that much, but this matchup will be a good matchup.
Oh, no.
That's why I think it's going to, you know, by the time we get there, it'll be fine. I think we just want to see the game start already. I'm with you on that.
Well, yeah, and if it's anything like, I mean, there was the divisional round. That was a great, you know, even I mean, the only game that really wasn't that great was the Broncos-Colts game. You know, the Colts just kind of they had control of that game, even though it was still a decent game that actually got out of hand for the Broncos. It was still an okay game. Mm-hmm. The other three games were fantastic. Even the Seahawks-Panthers game.
Seahawks,
I mean, the score didn't really show how close that game was. I mean, they were driving to tie the game when Cam Newton threw that pick six. You know, I think I mentioned it at that point in the game, too. It was like, if that doesn't just completely show what Cam Newton is and what kind of player he is, he made a fantastic play right before that.
Yeah.
Scrambling, runs. I don't know if he got a first down, but, man, he stiff-arms guys, and you're like, Jesus, that guy's a monster. Next play, pick six. But it was a great game, and then the other two games were fantastic. And then the championship games, I mean, yeah, the Patriots game was a complete blowout, but that Seahawks-Packers game was one of the most ridiculous games I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was an insane game. There were just so many times where it was like, I can't believe I'm fucking watching this. I can't believe that just happened. You know, so that was a great game, too. So, you know, even though it has been, you know, there hasn't been a lot of great, like, memorable games this year, I think. There hasn't been a whole lot of, like, I don't think people are going to look back at 2014 and go, like, man, that was a great year of football. Like, do you remember when this happened? But they're, like, that NFC Championship game is probably going to get remembered for a long time.
A long time.
And if, you know, this game could end up being maybe not that sort of game, but if it's a decent game, like, you know, I'm a little worried it's going to be boring, kind of like that Patriots-Giants game.
Oh, the second one,
the last
right?
Super Bowl of 2011.
Yeah.
It was a close. It was a close game. But it was boring.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there was one really big play, the Mario Manningham sideline catch, which was a fantastic play, and you know that really was exciting. But that was really all there was. It was kind of just a. I'm worried that it could turn into that kind of game, like it ended up being close, but still not really all that exciting. But the Seahawks haven't been like that lately. I mean, they've just been that kind of team that just sort of pulls it out of their ass at times. And that's usually what happens when you got a quarterback like Russell Wilson who can be mobile and evade pass rushes, and you got a defense that goes after turnovers. You get things like that happening. They haven't been that strong this year, but they've relied on what they're good at. And I think they've actually been a better running football team than they've been probably for a few years now, you know, since Pete Carroll came along. This is probably their best running team. So you get that core group, I mean, you may not blow people out, but you're going to end up coming out on top a lot more times than not. So, unlike last year where the team was, I think they were just all around just a very damn good team. This year they're like, eh, but.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. I mean, the interesting thing is there's a lot going on here in terms of history, too. I think not a lot of people have talked about this week, so we're too busy talking about stupid shit. You know, when's the last time we had back-to-back Super Bowl champions? You know, that hasn't happened
ago.
In a while. It doesn't happen. Yeah, it doesn't happen that often in the NFL, either. Was it 10 years ago?
10 years ago.
Patriots, right?
Patriots, that's right.
Yeah,
it's the Eagles.
Yeah, Patriots, right? And then before that, I mean, was the Cowboys, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
You know,
it would have been the Cowboys.
You know, there
was 92, Broncos before that. Because Broncos beat.
Oh, yeah, the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos beat the Packers, and then, yeah.
My point is you remember these things. I remember when the Patriots won two in a row. I remember when, you know, I do remember when the Broncos won two in a row. That was a big one. You know, and then the Cowboys, the 49ers, you know, like you start remembering, like, there's a legacy that's made there if the Seahawks win two in a row. And then you look at the Patriots, it's like, if they win this game, that's history for them. You know, how many would that be? Four Super Bowl wins in how long? 10 years? 12 years? Like, that's pretty impressive.
Pretty good.
You know, and not to mention they lost two, so that means they won the AFC. You know, they already won the AFC, what, six times now in the past 12 years or something like that?
Past 12?
That's an impressive stat.
That's pretty good, yeah.
12 or 13? That's pretty impressive. That means half the time since 2001, 2002 or whatever it was, almost half the time they've won the AFC. That's an impressive streak on its own. If they win this week, it's kind of one of the reasons why I'm actually kind of rooting for the Patriots. Because I, as a 49er fan, like you think of the teams, you think of you know the Packers of the 60s, you think of the Steelers of the 70s, you think of the 49ers of the 80s, you think of the Cowboys of the 90s. The Patriots are those type of teams, you know. Even though that they're a very different team from 2001 to now, I mean Tom Brady's career basically, we think of them in that dynasty type thing. And to me, as a Niner fan, I know a lot of Niner fans, like, we don't want them to win another one because then they're going to get, you know, they're going to be closer to the 49ers and da, 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 blah, blah, blah. I look at it more like if they win and they're in that, suddenly they're tied to those teams, and that just actually enhances the history of the 49ers and the Patriots for that matter. And if the Seahawks lose, then they're just like kind of like the Packers of the 90s, which I can handle. You know, all right, they won their one, and then they lost the next year. You know, thank you, John Elway. Like, I can handle that. I can handle that kind of a legacy, and hopefully the Seahawks never reach the Super Bowl ever again in my lifetime. I can deal with that. I can deal with that type of history for the Seahawks. If they win two, then I'm not going to be happy at all. That's just going to bother me. Then they're actually a good football team, and I don't want to admit it because I hate the Seahawks.
That's some serious legacy for both teams. If,
yeah.
Like you mentioned, yeah. The Seahawks winning, that's two in a row for them, and three Super Bowls in 10 years too, by the way, because they were in that Super Bowl, that infamous Super Bowl 40 against the Steelers.
Yeah. Can we also just talk about, you know, the NFC West? And you look since, what, 2000?
Mm-hmm.
How many teams have come out of the NFC West to go to the Super Bowl?
That's true. It's a lot.
Seahawks three times.
Yep.
Arizona once. San Francisco once.
Yep.
Rams twice.
Yep.
Since 2000. In the last, you know, 14, 15 years. Like, that's pretty impressive. That's actually kind of an impressive stat as well, considering that during that time, people said that the NFC West was the worst division in the history of football.
That was for a year. And then what happened? They beat the Saints. The Seahawks out of that division.
They beat the Saints.
Yeah.
And then the Panthers now are the crowning worst division in NFL history, if you want to believe that they're worse than the Seahawks that year. Which I think the NFC West was probably worse than the NFC, or the NFC South this year was worse than the NFC West division. The Seahawks won at 7-9.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Niners were fairly talented and they were 6-10. The Rams lost and they tied. They were 7-9 also. They actually tied the Seahawks that year. And it came down to the last game of the season. I think they even flexed that game. They ended up showing two losing teams basically to make the playoffs, Rams versus Seahawks.
I think they did that.
If I remember correctly. I could be wrong about that.
No, they did. I do remember this, yeah. It seemed kind of silly at the time, but that was the best available matchup.
Well, yeah, there was nobody else playing for anything for the most part, you know. So they were both playing. It was win or go home, basically.
Wow.
You know, that was it. So, yeah, but it is interesting. The NFC West has actually done a pretty decent job. Clearly, I would say that the Seahawks have a little bit of the upper hand, but, you know, if they lose, then they'd have lost twice. Then they're the Peyton Manning of the NFC West in the last 15 years.
Got one, but that's it. The Braves of the NFC, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess you could tell
that.
They're more like the Rams. They're the new Rams. See, I can handle that again. Like, as a 49er fan, I can handle if, like, they lose and then they don't win ever again, or they just turn into just shit. You know, Russell Wilson never gets any better. Pete Carroll, you know, gets busted for, like, giving his players steroids or something and, like, goes back to USC or some bullshit like that. Like, I don't know. Like, it's going to happen eventually. Like, we're going to find out some shady shit went down with Seattle, like, 5-6 years from now. And Pete Carroll will have somehow, for whatever reason, retired right before the scandal hit. You know, it's going to be that sort of thing. And then I can handle all that because it's like the Rams, you know, they had their Super Bowl. They lost to the Patriots. You know, Kurt Warner, whatever. Like, you know, he seems like a nice dude. Whatever. I don't give a shit. You know, I can handle that. What I don't want is like this dynasty, you know, Seahawks win like 4 Super Bowls in the next 8 years or something like that, because I just can't handle that. I can't handle a bunch of people like Tyler fucking acting like he's a goddamn Seahawks fan when we all know he's a fucking 49ers fan, and he's the hugest front runner we've ever fucking seen on planet Earth. I've never seen anybody worse than Tyler.
Oh,
Tyler,
man.
You know, I'm sure he's going to be on, you know, later this week talking about his bets or whatever. You know, maybe he's not. I don't know. But you could tell him that he's the biggest front runner ever, and it's shameful. It's absolutely fucking shameful. I just can't handle it.
Well, he owns it anyway.
I can't fucking handle it.
So give him credit for that. But
yeah, no, to be fair, I don't actually care. I really don't. Like, I actually just like trolling Tyler, and I think he enjoys it as well. He likes trolling me.
It's all good fun, and I mean, surely he's earned.
Well,
he deserves it.
When I was in his baseball league, I mean, that's all we did was just talk shit to each other. Like, everybody talked shit in that league, and that's when I realized that Tyler wasn't like my brother Joel was like, that guy is a douchebag, and like, I don't think he's really serious. And then I met Tyler, and I was like, yeah, he's totally not serious. He's just goofing, which yeah. I can dig, man. Like, I can dig it. Like, I'll take the heat if he's going to post shit on Facebook about me. Like, I'll deal with that shit. I'll handle it in my own way, you know. And right. he fires back. It's fun. But Jesus Christ, that guy's such a front runner.
He really is, though. I mean,
anyways,
he could be a Seahawk fan next year. He claims he hates.
Could be. Well, now he's a Cavs fan. So what does that say?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
He's a Cavs fan this year. You know,
Cavs fan.
Suddenly he's talking about how much he's been a Cavs fan his entire fucking life. Like, oh, okay, Tyler. Yeah. Sure.
I'm thinking, what's next for this guy? Ohio State fan next year and college football. Does he do that with football, college football? Yeah. He'll be a Kentucky fan in basketball. Like March Madness, he'll have a Kentucky shirt on. Yeah. It'd be funny.
We're not talking about college basketball. Don't even try it.
Just saying.
Don't even try
just
it.
Just saying.
I'm not even going to not gonna do it. God damn it, Dave.
Oh, man.
What about your boy Manny Pacquiao, man? It looks like
They might actually do it. I saw the Jumbotron clip from last night.
Well, what happened apparently, too, is that, you know, apparently they exchanged phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayweather went to the hotel, to Pacquiao's hotel suite where he was staying at in Miami, and they actually talked about negotiations going on. This is coming from Pacquiao's advisor or whatever, his manager. Not Bob Arum, not his promoter, but it's like manager or whatever.
Okay.
Bob Arum's an asshole, but whatever. Point is that he said that basically Mayweather was discussing, because it's a cross promotional thing. It's HBO and Showtime. They both put their contract under separate
networks.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you'd call it. Networks, yeah. So Mayweather's under Showtime. He's under HBO, so Mayweather was basically saying he had like two or three issues that he didn't like what was going on, and he talked to Pacquiao, and apparently Pacquiao called Bob Arum to get it taken care of in the negotiations between HBO and Showtime. And they talked about some other things, but for the most part, it was about that. So they're serious. Like, this is, and that's coming from Pacquiao's manager. Pacquiao's manager was saying it was a great conversation. It was, you know, da 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 da, blah blah blah. Like, apparently this shit's like getting. Like, if this falls apart, I'm not going to fucking know what to think.
It's just getting real, isn't it?
Yeah. I know he's your boy because you're Filipino and all that shit. And
it's going to be fun. Yeah. You know, I know what, they're way past their prime at this point. So this is just for entertainment at this juncture. They're way past their prime.
Well,
but
at least
it's better late than never.
At least it's not as bad as with the guy, the old guy that just got his ass kicked recently. Jesus, my mind just fucking. Roy Jones Jr. God, I don't. My mind went blank. They had that big rivalry back in the day, and they didn't fight each other. They were both like 40 something. Like, nobody even gave a shit anymore. And in some ways, I don't even care about this fight. Like, there's some great fights this year in boxing, and this one is not probably the best one, but. It'd be nice to kind of get it out of the way so everybody can fucking stop acting.
So we can finally get some resolution to this, you know?
See? Yeah, just let it go. Like, at this point, that's the sad part about it. Is at this point, it's like, it's not even like, man, I really want to see that fight. It's just more like, I'm just glad that it'll be over if they actually fight and then nobody will talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because what I realize is that most people don't even, like, most people, like, they think they know so much about boxing, but they don't even fucking watch the sport until it's a fight like this. And they talk shit about it, like, oh, Mayweather's ducking, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, Manny Pacquiao is on steroids, and da-da-da-da-da-da. Nobody even fucking watches. Like, all they care about is just all the drama and all the bullshit. It's like, I just want to see the two guys fight, even if they're a little bit past their prime. Like, it'll probably still be a boring-ass fight, because Mayweather's never going to fucking, you know, sit in the middle of the ring with Pacquiao and let him punch him. He's probably going to do his counter-punching and shit, and he's going to outbox him, and he's probably going to win off points, and you know, it'll be somewhat boring, but it'll be kind of amazing to watch because Mayweather, even when he fights a boring fight, is interesting to watch. It's kind of like a defensive battle in football. People go like, oh, that was boring. The game, the score was, you know, 17 to 13. But if you actually watch the game and understand football, you go, oh, it's actually a good game, or like a pitching duel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1-0 game, but like, man, that guy, he pitched 8 innings and had 3 hits or something like that. And you're like, that was impressive. You know, the other guy did 7 2/3, and he had 4 hits. Like, that's a good game. even if it's not overly exciting. That's all of Mayweather's fight, so I guess we'll see. Maybe we'll get that in the Super Bowl. I know Andy was talking about it, too, saying he thinks it's going to be low scoring, which I think he'll be right about that. I mean, Seattle's defense is, you know, we all know what they're capable of, and I think the Patriots, I think you guys said it, both of you said it, and I completely agree. I think they're extremely underrated. I think they're very much underrated. So we might get that kind of matchup in the Super Bowl, and I'll enjoy that if it's like 20-17 or something like that, which I think, ironically, was the score of the Giants-Patriots Super Bowl a couple years ago. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Dave? Hello? Dave?
Oh, sorry. My volume was down. I was just thinking, like, it was I think that was the score. 17-13, Super Bowl 46? Yeah, I think that's...
Right. I don't know what the fuck it was.
No, yeah. But I think you're right. I think it was 17-13. Oh, no. 17-14. That's the Super Bowl 42, right? 42 was that game?
That's, I never remember
17-14. Super Bowl 42, the David Tyree catch off of Eli Manning, just eluding a bunch of guys. And that was a fun one.
Was that 42?
42, yeah.
What about the other one between them?
21-17 was the other. That was...
Yeah, okay, later. Yeah. Yeah, and that one was boring. But the 2008 one or whatever it was,
yeah,
that was a good one.
And that was some
that was a great game.
Yeah, great game. That was just thrill. Yeah. And like you said, a defensive battle. It was not even close.
It was.
To a high score.
If I'm not mistaken, I think the Giants actually only scored twice in the 2008 game, touchdowns, and it was the first drive and the last drive. If I'm not mistaken about that.
Wow.
Like, they literally, like almost the entire game, they didn't even get in the end zone until, like, just, like, the ends of the games. Or the beginning and end of the game. I could be wrong about that. I might be wrong, but I think maybe something like that. So it was a heavily defensive game, though.
Wow.
I mean, their D-line stepped up, and maybe we'll get something like that happen this year where it's not, like,
90 seconds.
I think it really is possible. Like, I don't think we're going to see Russell Wilson just go off on the Patriots. I don't think we're going to see Tom Brady, like, you know, turn into Joe Montana suddenly. I think it's going to be more of like that. Both defenses are too good for that. You know, Patriots are too well coached, and the Seahawks are just outright one of the best defenses in football in a long time. You know,
yep.
I think it's just going to be one of those type of games where it's like they're going to be taking counter punches and punches and swing. It's going to be a little bit of a knockdown,
60
you know, drag out
seconds.
Type thing. It may come down to who makes the least amount of mistakes and stuff like that. And I like football like that, even if it's boring. Remember the Patriots,
Rams,
Panthers game?
Oh, Panthers too. Yeah, that's
no,
right.
Patriots, Panthers.
Scores?
That first half was like 6-3 or something like that, and I don't even know if that's even true what I just said, but it was a low scoring first half. And I remember a bunch of people saying, "Oh, it was a boring first half." I'm like, "That was a great first half. Like you could see, you could tell Fox and Belichick were filling each other out and trying to get each engage what's going on." And then the second half, it just exploded. You know, that was a fantastic game. That was one of my favorite Super Bowls as well. I wouldn't say it's up there, maybe not top five or something like that, but that was one of my favorite Super Bowls that I can remember because it was that kind of game. You saw the chess game going on in the first half, and then the second half, it, you know, things started going.
10 seconds.
You might see something like that this year too. You know, Pete Carroll and Bill, you know, Belichick might be filling each other out a little bit for a couple quarters.
It's definitely got a lot of theater to it, and with two good coaches like that, it's not going to – I don't sense a runaway either way. You cited some good ones. It's funny the Patriots get involved in almost all of them, although 46 was not that great. But this – I suspect the same will happen. It should be a close game. It shouldn't be decided by more than 3 or 4 points. And we'll find out who the winner is. Just quickly, who do you think is going to win the game if you had to just – your instinct. What did your instinct say?
I think my prediction the other day that I wrote down, and I still kind of feel that same way, I predicted Patriots 27, Seahawks 20.
All right.
I think the Seahawks are just not as good as they were last year. And the way they've played, you know, the way that NFC game went, like, I didn't like the way they looked at all. And they should not have won that game. And generally, when you get a team like that, they don't end up playing the championship game. It's like, could they? Absolutely. No question. But I think there is a chance that, you know, they may have just been playing a little bit above their head and kind of just riding out their coattails of last year and the end of the season there. Where I think the Patriots are a little bit more on point right now. I don't know if the Patriots are the better team, even if they do win the game, but I think right now they're the better team.
Cool.
So
cool. I like, so playing better basically. And you know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
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 I hear you there.
And I mean, I'm not saying, I mean, if Seattle won this game, I would not be shocked at all. Like, it's not even, it's not like I'm saying I don't think Seattle could win. It's just more of like last year I felt pretty strongly about Denver. I thought their offense would be able to really adjust, and they clearly think it'll work out that way. But I just don't think we have that Seattle defense this year. It's not that good this year. You know, they don't generate the pass rush like they did last year as well. But yeah, anyways, that's
all
just
right.
My thoughts. I know it's like 8 o'clock already. Or
no problem, Jake. Got it all recorded. Thank you very much for just taking some time to spend with us tonight. Enjoy the game. Hopefully it'll plan out to our wishes. And it should be a good time. And whatever you do, enjoy the game.
Don't drink and drive.
Don't drink and drive, yeah. Where are you going to the game? You going anywhere in particular?
I'm probably going to stay at the house, man. We're going to have people over.
Nice.
Have a good time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good time.
Yeah.
Good time.
Hopefully watch fucking Pete Carroll lose on national television. I'll love it.
Well, we've seen that before, have we not? I mean, back in 05, about 9 years ago.
Well, look, I know you love Pete Carroll.
I'm a Pete Carroll guy.
Okay.
You know, I've made amends. Was kind of bitter about him leaving SC for a while, but I've buried the hatchet with it. I'm wishing him the best of success.
You got love for Slick Pete. You got love for old Slick
Pete. Yeah, Slippery Pete. That's right. That is right.
The fucking slime ball. I'm telling you, man. 5-6 years, he's going to retire. And then, like, a month later, it's going to be like he's been feeding these fucking guys Adderall and fucking EPO and all kinds of bullshit.
Glad
you know, he's been filming fucking practices and, like, you know, fucking Watergate style, breaking into fucking, you know, other offices, stealing playbooks and shit. Like, it's gonna get weird. I'm telling you.
All right.
That and Russell Wilson is, like, he's involved in, like, some weird, like, you know, dominatrix sex, you know, act thing or something like that. Like, there's something up with Russell Wilson. He's a weirdo. He's a fucking weirdo. Like, he's too clean cut. Like, he's doing some weird shit on the side. Like, he's you know, sacrificing babies to some god or something like that. Like, I'm telling you, there's something up with that dude. He's a fucking weirdo.
He's too good, am I right?
Just throwing it out there.
Is that you feel?
Football-wise, I'm saying, yeah, the way he talks, like, no, this dude's a robot, man. Like, he's doing some weird shit. Like, I'm just not buying it, man. I'm not buying what he's selling. I just don't get it. No, I'm sorry. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's weird, man. He's a weirdo. Just saying.
All right, buddy. Well, have a good time with the game. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll catch up soon. Thanks so much, Jake.
All right, buddy. Have a good one, huh?
You too. All right, that's Jake Rosales. And that's our program. Really a great time. Thanks to everybody who tuned in tonight. And thanks to everybody who joined us. Kevin on the Cape in hour one. Coach Andrew Jacobson in hour two. Along with our friend Jacob Rosales, who was with us to round out hour two. Great time, everybody. Have a wonderful night. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't go anywhere too quickly with the Prop Bet Show. But until then, we'll see you next time.